If we want to list every way Spreaker can help podcast publishers, well, we need a podcast of our own. Whether you're in charge of long-running series with extensive backlogs or countless limited series, you can organize and monetize your entire catalog with Spreaker. With Spreaker's customizable publisher plan, you can add collaborators, analyze extensive listener analytics, and even share exclusive content through custom RSS feeds. And that's just for starters. Head to Spreaker.com to learn more. That's Spreaker.com.
Welcome to the porch here on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Grund. Broadcasting from the Firefall studio on Spreaker.com. That's where you find Firefall Talk Radio. We still archive our shows at the old Blog Talk Radio account. You can also hear us on iTunes and iHeartRadio, so welcome to those listeners. This is where we take a deeper look at the Word of God, especially the Book of Acts Church. We find how they served the Lord. And in doing so, we restore the priesthood of the believer and reacquire the world-shaking influence that they had. We need it now more than ever. We're going to need it in the days to come. Church age is still in effect. It's not over. The fire still falls. The day of Pentecost is ongoing. The Porch is an outreach of Solomon's Porch, Inc. If you'd like to contact us, go to onsolomonsporch.org. If you have any questions, visit the site, use the contact button. If you'd like to support what we do at Firefall Talk Radio, go to firefalltalkradio.com. There are ways to do that. We appreciate the support. We appreciate those of you that have made the commitment to help us. Make sure you bookmark the Spreaker site so that not only do you know when we're broadcasting The Porch, you'll also know when some of the other shows that are going to be aired will be on in 2019. Overwatch will be back on a semi-regular basis. Praise reports and prayer requests, that's how we start. And if you're listening and you don't want to go through all this, if you're listening on Spreaker, it gives you chapters. Pick it up right after the shofar and you'll be right into the Bible study. But if you want the feeling of fellowship and community, then stick with us. So praise reports is while I praise the Lord for my home. I praise him for my wife. And I don't say this very much. I try to keep family stuff to myself. But I am blessed with the wife that I have, with the one that the Lord gave me. It's not easy being married to me. When things go bump in the night, you never know what it's going to be. So keep her in your prayers, and I praise him for her. I praise him for our furry kids and all the possessions that we have, including all the equipment in this studio. Praise him for our grandson. What a blessing. What an amazing infusion of love and happiness into our home and family. I praise him for his protection over all of us for this ministry that he lets me work. I say this and I will continue to say it. You will never see my name on this ministry ever. I am appalled by people who put their name on a ministry thinking they're all that. Unless you can be beaten, scourged, nailed to a cross, bleed every drop of blood, die, and rise from the grave 3 days later, you're not all that. I praise him for being a new creation, for living in these prophetic times, and him even using me. Praise him for the nation we're in, America. Does it have flaws? Yes. But I praise him for the fact that we can do this. We can share, we can pray, we can praise, and the word still goes forth. I'm also praising him for the signs that he's getting ready to return. My prayer is always first for the Middle East, for the peace of Jerusalem, and all of Israel, that which means the return of the Prince of Peace. I pray for the fatherless, the widows, the innocents, the victims of injustice. For our brothers and sisters around the world being slaughtered and persecuted for their faith. I pray for the slaughter of the innocents. Every day I turn on the news or social media or whatever and see another baby or child brutalized, murdered, things done to them that I can't even imagine. When I look at our grandson, I can't even imagine that anybody would do that. I know it's demonic. I know they're not in their right mind. But all of their humanity must be gone to do that to a helpless child. I pray for those that are suffering from religious persecution. I pray against it. I pray against the anti-Semitism on the rise and those that would think the evil that they do for the children of God. They are his people, and I will always stand with Israel, and I will always stand with my Jewish brothers and sisters. I pray for divine wholeness, health, and healing in me and in all of you and my wife and my family. Let's get back to our divine design. I mean, really, let's do it. Let's make 2019 the year that we do everything we can in the natural, but we begin to pray fervently without ceasing, and begin to pray for each other, pray for our bodies, pray for our health. It's time to rise up and do what we've called to do, and we can't do that if the enemy keeps us sick. I pray for inspiration and protection for the remnant to awaken, answer the call to action. If you believe that you are a part of that remnant and you're not doing anything about it, why? Why are you not doing anything about it? If ever there was a time for the remnant to rise up, it's now. If you can bless, be a blessing. Can't take it with you. And how many trips and skiing trips and concerts can you go to? Come on. There are needs in the kingdom. This ministry and Firefall and everything that we do have needs. Like the documentary. Keep that in prayer. I am believing that this next phase of production, the next things we shoot in Kansas in the beginning of next year, will make this what it was intended to be. And it'll open eyes and it'll shake things up for the kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. So pray for that and pray for the funds to do it. Nick in Dallas gave us a report. His father's surgery was successful. He texted me they were on the way home with him. He's resting comfortably. Now he begins the process of healing, so he's asking for prayer for the Lord's healing to flow and heal him properly. Also asking for him to have extra patience with that process and not try to rush it, that all the members of the family have peace of mind and heart. And he also said thank you to the Porch family for the prayers. Don in Lexington, South Carolina. I don't know why I did that, Lexington, South Carolina. Whatever. Anyway, she's asking for prayers for her family, especially for herself and her son. If you don't know who Dawn is, she's been, she kind of works with SRT over the years. She's led us to people that needed our help, and in the future, we will be telling her story. Stacy in Texas. Praise report. I'm thankful for my family, furry kids, like-minded believers in my life. I thank God for you daily. And I pray for blessing and protection in all of you. Please continue to pray for me and my family. We need a breakthrough spiritually and financially. We really need our house to sell. Seems like things are ramping up everywhere more and more every day, like with all of this talk about the third temple. I'm praying for all of us to stay focused and watch what matters. We can't just get distracted, because if we do, we will be deceived. Interesting comment considering what I'm teaching tonight. May God bless us with the wisdom, the courage, and the strength to endure in Yeshua's name. She said, without this ministry, I would feel so alone, just saying. Sometimes I wish it was more than once a week. I know it's a lot to do, and I'm very thankful. Well, 2019, that may change. Kim in Fort Mitchell says, I'm doing good. Hard to believe this year is almost over. Yeah, I can't believe it either. A couple of weeks. I feel thankful for all the lessons learned. I had to learn how to forgive people who were never sorry. I'm thankful for spiritual growth. I don't chase the drama anymore. I'm grateful for my salvation and my sobriety. I'm thankful for my children every day I get to spend with them. I feel blessed being a part of this ministry and have a friend like Stacy. Father, I'm tired. Tired of the distractions, the fake compassion displayed around this time of year. It's hard to escape this madness called Christmas. One way or another, we get pulled into it. People are so confused. Father, I'm praying for an even deeper connection between us. I need to know in what area I need to improve. praying for believers all over the world, including me, not to give up, but to keep going. Father, bless us, favor us, protect us from the enemy. Give us what we need to withstand this darkness and shine your light in Jesus' name. Well, Hanukkah is over, but the light still shines. We are the light because he is the light of the world. He is the servant candle. He is the Shamash, and he has lit us up. Not in a worldly way, not in an ungodly way, but with the light of his glory. Arise and shine. Father, we praise you. We praise you, we praise you, and we love you. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your son. We thank you for being our Abba Father, our Papa God, our Daddy. We are in awe of you. We love you. So we cry out to you now as your children to meet us where we are. Meet us at our needs. Meet us in our brokenness and our emptiness and our neediness. I know you're never offended by that. You understand. We thank you that you loved us so much. You sent your only begotten Son, Yeshua. You sent us salvation. Thank you for that. Lord, thank you for what you're doing, what you've done, and what you will do in the future when you step off that throne and you come back. I long for the day. But until that time, we will tarry, we will occupy, we will do what you asked us to do, Lord. But we never want to forget you. We never want to forget the cross. We never want to forget your words and your ministry. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing that, for reminding us of him, for bringing his words to light and to life, for showing us and magnifying him. So touch us right now. We clear our minds. We take every thought captive to the obedience of Messiah. We claim the mind of Messiah. And we cast down every vain imagination that would exalt itself above the knowledge of El Elyon, God Most High, our Father. Bless this time. Bless this word. In Yeshua's name. Amen. These lessons are proprietary information, except where noted the information comes from outside sources. The combination of that information, the matter presented, is exclusive, cannot be repeated or used without permission. The date of this broadcast serves as the registered date of the following information. So we've been talking about walking in the Spirit. So we are called to walk in the Spirit, but we're called to do it with wisdom and understanding. So I'm going to recap because we haven't talked about this in 2 weeks, but basically let me tell you, it's not what we're going to talk about tonight is not going to be glamorous, but it's going to be needed. So let's get right into it, starting out with where we've started out before. 1 Corinthians 12, starting verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away with these dumb idols. However you were led, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Yeshua accursed, and no one can say that Yeshua is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, by the Ruach HaKodesh. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. I'm seeing a pattern here, something about the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to misunderstand this. I don't want you to be misinformed. And I'm sorry to say there are a lot of people, including some people I know, that are seriously misinformed. That word ignorant means not to know, either through lack of information or intelligence. By implication, it means to ignore, either through an aversion or unwillingness to know. It's the action of being ignorant. Ignorance will not be an excuse when you stand before him. And you know another excuse that won't work? Well, I was taught this by so-and-so. Hey, folks, do your own study. Know the word. Open the book. Get to know the truth. Everyone I've seen deceived, and it increases every day, it's because they're not doing their own studying. They're not asking questions. They just don't get it. The blind leading the blind into a ditch. Romans 12, starting verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Messiah, individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, and we know from the previous scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, that the one who gives it to us is who? It's the Holy Spirit. Let us use them. In prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. So we talked about the distribution of the gifts a couple of weeks ago. To some, he gives the gift of serving, exhortation, giving, teaching, being merciful, faith, and evangelism. But he gives a command to all of us to serve one another, to exhort one another, to give to one another, to share and teach with one another, to be kind to one another. We are commanded to walk by faith and to be a witness. This isn't a situation, hey, I got my ticket, I'm saved, I'm going to paradise. We've been called to live in freedom, but we've been called to live it in freedom together. We're not supposed to use that freedom to satisfy our sinful nature. We're supposed to use it to serve one another in love, especially the household of faith. That's Galatians 5. Let us think of ways to motivate another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now the day of his return is drawing near. That's Hebrews 10. Now, maybe you can't find a fellowship, haven't found one, there isn't any. Maybe you're somewhere isolated. The internet and social media and Skype and iPhones and FaceTime and all this technology the enemy uses for his kingdom, you can use it for God's. You can find people to meet with on a regular basis to pray together. You know, when the porch first started, the goal was to have home fellowship, to have other home fellowships, and periodically get together in a corporate setting to praise, worship, edify, but then go back to the separate setting. And I'm not the only one who came up with that 20 years ago, whatever that was, 25 years ago, 28 years ago, something like that. Anyway, it's very difficult to do. People just don't want it. They're too ingrained. I need to go sit someplace. I need to have a children's church. I need to have a nursery to drop my kids off. Well, that's not biblical. It wasn't what the Book of Acts Church did. It wasn't what the Lord did. And after all these years, I don't see a whole lot of effectiveness to that program. That's just me. We're supposed to take care of one another. If somebody has a need, we're supposed to take care of it. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not begrudgingly out of necessity, but be a cheerful giver. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight, not by ritual, not by rote, not by programs. If the Spirit is in you, he will guide you in what to do and how to do it. And if you don't understand, there should be somebody that you can ask, somebody that explains the gospel to you. If I'm that person, that's great. If I'm not, find someone. I always have the ability to pick up the phone and call Pastor Shelley, who still is my pastor and my mentor, my spiritual father. And even at the age of 90, we will get to talking. We will get to sharing scripture and examining scripture and sometimes spend an hour on the phone. And that's how I get my answers. That's how I take my questions to him. Well, I don't know what my spiritual gift is, Richard. Well, yeah, you do. You just haven't acknowledged it yet. He will tell you, go do all the things I just said. Find places to do stuff. We have got to become proactive. That's the call for 2019. I'm going to do an end of the year, probably porch that'll tie into an Overwatch. Overwatch will now become the way that we talk about what's going on in the world from a supernatural kingdom of God perspective. The reflections in the dark is gone. It's not coming back. Time for a change. Time to do things differently. And in 2019, that is a proactive, aggressive position against the kingdom of darkness, against the false teaching, against anything that would interfere with the command to go and to do, to get people saved, healed, and delivered. It is time to rise up. If you lack wisdom, then ask of the Father, ask of God. He'll give it liberally and without reproach. But ask in faith with no doubting. Because if you doubt, you're going to be like a wave on the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And don't suppose that you'll receive anything from the Lord if you do that, because you become double-minded and unstable in all your ways. James 1:5-8. What is that double-mindedness? It's a worldly mind, it's a spiritual mind, and the two cannot function together. The spiritual mind must overrule. Now we're going to take a look at some of the things mentioned in those scriptures, the offices and the gifts from the Lord. Like I said, it's not glamorous, but the amount of deception I'm seeing right now requires that I do this. And it's interesting, the timing of the teaching has tied in with conversations I've had all week with various brothers that I commiserate with. So one of the first things mentioned, 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, and varieties of tongues. Ephesians 4:11 says, and he, capital H, he being the Lord, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. If I look at those two scriptures, 1 Corinthians 12:28, Ephesians 4:11, what do I see? Do I see that apostles, prophets, and so on are appointed by men? Do I see that they're appointed by committees? Do I see that they're appointed by denominations or anything? No, I see that God and the Lord are the ones who appoint. They appoint, they anoint. The problem that we have right now is there's too many self-proclaimed people doing things that are out of order. They've moved into offices that were never theirs to begin with. They have created havoc and destruction everywhere they go under the guise of serving the Lord when they're only serving themselves. That word in the Greek, apostle, apostolos, literally means one sent forth. An envoy, a missionary. The Latin equivalent is the word missionary. That's where it comes from. It can have both a general and limited or technical meaning. In a general sense, the word means one who is sent or a messenger. And there is a difference between agalos, which is messenger, and apostolos, which has a similar meaning. But one is a delegate. The apostolos is a delegate or representative of the person that sent him. Now, I was on Facebook briefly before I came on here to check and make sure that there were no other praise reports and prayer requests. And I saw somebody that should know better interacting with somebody who is apostle, prophet, so-and-so. And I looked at their interaction and I thought, wow, this is disappointing. I'm sorry, I won't call you apostle, prophet, fill in the name here. I won't do that. Because you're not. If you have to tell me, you're not. In every sense of the word, we as believers in Yeshua have been called to be missionaries to the world. We've been called to go. Now, there were specific apostles in the Bible, but here's what I know about the title of apostle. They usually do something. They don't sit around with a label. They don't have business cards saying apostle, prophet, so and so. They will go somewhere like Paul did for a period of time. They will build the church. They will build a fellowship. They will stay with people. They'll teach them. They'll disciple them. They'll work until it's planted, and then they'll move on. They are a missionary of the kingdom of God. They are delegates of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the reason I'm telling you this is because I know some that are listening have bought into this. And I want in the name of Jesus right now, in the name of Yeshua, for your eyes to be open, for the scales of false teaching to fall off of your eyes, for the spirit of truth to overwhelm you and break you free of the bondage of the lies of the false teachers, the false prophets, the false apostles that have filled the church since the beginning of the church when Hasatan, Satan, sent them. Let's get back to truth, because what's coming in 2019 and beyond, if you're caught up in the lie and the deception, you will be shattered when you realize what you've been following, believing, and promoting is wrong. Now, Paul would call somebody a messenger in Philippians 2:25. He calls Epaphroditus a messenger, a brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier, but you're a messenger. He uses the Greek word that is applied to apostle, but in this case it doesn't mean apostle. It means simply an appointed messenger for those people. The gift of apostleship he did not have. He was not appointed. He was not anointed. The 12 were, the original 12 were. Paul officially took Judas's place, even though they voted somebody else in the upper room. But anybody who has the apostolic calling and anointing is a missionary. They go places. They preach the gospel. They get people saved, healed, and delivered. But the key is he appoints them. Mark 3:14. Then he appointed the 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Luke 6:13. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. I would dare to say that the majority, if not all, the people walking around with the self-proclaimed name tag of apostles are not. So I just ignore it. I won't go to services where the headlining stars are apostle and prophetess so-and-so. Sorry, folks, I don't have time for that. I don't have time to play church. I don't have time to play religion. The world's dying. People need to get saved. The enemy needs to be confronted. The signs of the Messiah need to happen. Because I'll tell you something else, in the majority of these places, you don't see any signs and wonders. You just have a lot of sighs and wonder. So we had the 12 and we had Paul. And they were used to lay the foundation of what has been called the church. And their position was proved by the signs and wonders that followed them. And since the church isn't finished, I don't believe it is, therefore I believe that there are people out there still doing this, unnamed, unglamorized people, doing it of their own finances because they're just not glamorous enough for people to support. But they're getting the job done. They're doing what the Lord said do. They're not sitting in air-conditioned sanctuaries. They're not traveling in limousines and private jets. They're just not doing that. And I really pray that you would begin to see the dog and pony show, that you'd begin to see the deceit with clear eyes. But the function of being a worldwide missionary, establishing and planting churches or fellowships, staying and working with them until they are ready to stand on their own, is still needed. Unfortunately, the majority of what we see as far as church planting is actually church splintering, where sheep wander off from a pen into another pen, and then they wander here and wander there. I'm talking about unsaved people getting saved and needing fellowship and needing discipleship. One of the things that I am believing will happen in 2019, I know I've been talking about this for a very long time since I got saved and since the porch was founded in 2000, is the beginning and the ability to become highly mobile, to travel all across the United States and even across the world, to clear a path for the gospel, to bind the enemy, to destroy the strongholds, and be able to raise up other people that can do what we do for the furthering of the kingdom of God, for that final move, for that final phase, and then we can look and watch the sky as he returns. Fake apostles are self-appointed, man-anointed, and they have no merit. And they were even around in the early book of Acts days. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul says, I'll continue doing what I've always done. And this will undercut those who are looking for an opportunity to boast that their work is just like ours. These people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Messiah. But I am not surprised. Even Satan, even Hasatan, disguises himself as an angel of light. So it's no wonder that his servants who disguise themselves also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. Right there in 2 Corinthians 11, Paul makes it really clear. False apostles are satanic in nature. What's the sign of a false minister or false apostle? They have some secrets, some shameful, behind-the-doors secrets. They're deceitful and crafty, and they handle the word of God deceitfully. They manipulate it. They mold it to fit what they have to say. And some of them are very big, famous people at the head of organizations of tens of thousands of people. It's amazing to me how easy it is to deceive the flock. But then again, sheep are known to be stupid. They will walk after and war after the flesh. They're caught up in the outward appearance. They're caught up in their fleshly desires. They want to feed them, and they make it look like it's okay, and they find and manipulate Scripture to justify it. Remember, folks, just because they look good, sound good, smell good, dress good, walk good, doesn't mean they're God. What you think is good is not only always God. We're so caught up in the outward appearance. We're so caught up in what people look like, dress like, talk like. Yeshua would not be popular today if he were on the earth in his ministry the way he was then. He was of no appearance. He was nothing to look at. Second Corinthians 10:7. Do you look at things according to the outward appearance? If anyone is convinced in himself that he is Messiah, Messiah's, let him again consider this in himself, just as he is Messiah's, so are we even Messiah's. Paul had a problem. Paul was short. They say under about 4'11". Balding. He had eyesight problems. He really was not a good speaker, a good orator. And during this period of time, he's going into the Gentile world. He's going into the world where, like Corinth and Ephesus, where the people are getting saved that are coming out of the occult. Some of them are great speakers. Some of them have a lot of money. And they began to degrade Paul and how he looked and how he talked. Remember when Samuel was anointing a king and he kept anointing the brothers, the biggest, and then finally says, do you have any other kids? Yeah, I have my 12-year-old son David out watching the flock, and in comes this 12-year-old kid, ruddy, reddish hair, reddish-brown hair, pale, you know, freckled complexion. And the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature. For the Lord does not see as a man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord couldn't tolerate this with the Pharisees. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. The other thing about false apostles, false teachers, even false prophets, they will break their arm patting themselves on the back. And they'll also take credit for other people's work. They do the ipso facto school of prophecy. Ipso facto means after the fact. Oh, yeah, I prophesied this 10 years ago in my journal. But you're just telling us now. How do we know? It's time to wake up. There are a lot of people being paraded around right now as prophets that are deceiving people. False ministers, false prophets, false teachers, they will be greedy. They want to profit from their gospel. They want the highest offices. Everything they do is a counterfeit. They put on the pose. They put on the act. They have desires for self-glorification, self-exaltation. And it's easy to get caught up in this, especially if you're young and you're new. You think, well, this is the way it needs to be. But if the Spirit's working in you and working through you, if you listen to the Spirit of truth, you'll begin to see that this is not of Him. And then you'll have the choice. Will you walk away from the money? Will you walk away from the fame and the adoration and the favor to pursue righteousness? 2 Corinthians 12:12 tells us that the signs of an apostle are accomplished with perseverance, and in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now, you may think I'm harping on this, and in a way I am. I'm trying to get you to wake up. You're being fooled. You're being set up for calamity. You see, when we go back and we look at the Old Testament, and we look at the false teachers and the false prophets, and those that the children of Israel listened to, they were set up for destruction. Peace, peace, and there is no peace. Oh, don't worry about it. The Lord's not coming back 20, 30 years. We're going to have 8 years of this person, 8 years of that person. We're going to have prosperity. Everything's going to be great. And then when it's not, when it all collapses, when everything goes wrong, what are you going to do? Are you going to be ready? Will you be prepared? Are you living a day-to-day walk in the faith, a walk in the Spirit? Will you hear the Spirit of God? When you hear voices that are not of His, you hear something that's just wrong. It sounds good. The inflection's right. They look good. But it's not resonating in my spirit. Behold, I am against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. Yet I did not send them or command them. Therefore, they shall not profit from this people at all. Jeremiah 23:32. They're the blind leaders of the blind, leading everybody into a ditch that the Lord talked about in Matthew 15:14. They even cause divisions. They preach what they preach out of envy and strife. They preach Messiah from selfish ambition and not from their heart, not for a desire to see him glorified. He said, if I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. When you see a minister, woman, male, female, other, drawing attention to them, know right away, they don't belong to him. I dealt with this as a young believer. In following somebody, I began to add, you know, what's the word? Just went out of my head. Zoop, too much room. But the Lord said to me about this individual, who's your Savior, me or him? And he began to show me that I had positioned myself so that every time I looked towards the Lord, I saw him first. He was my model. He was my role model. He was the person I looked to. But then the Lord began to show me, I want you to see me, not through another man, not through another person. My goal as a man of God, as a minister, as a preacher, and whatever, is to point you to him. I don't want you to see me. I don't want you to give me adulation. I am very uncomfortable by all of that. You see it when I don't want to read it, but I want to be honest enough to read what the people send. I appreciate the appreciation. I get where that comes from. But I'm not the one who did it. I'm not the one who died. I'm not the one who did what the Lord did. I never want to steal his glory. I never want to be in the eyesight that you have specifically for him. If I can lead you to him, if I can help, if I can beat back the wolves and the enemy, if I can go into the darkness and grab the lion out of the lamb's mouth, I do it for the great shepherd. I have no problems being his sheepdog. But these people, they teach, as 2 Peter 2:1 calls, damnable, destructive heresies. But there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. What is heresy? Heresy is a belief opposed to the official beliefs of a church, considered wrong. It's a condition of unbelief. A lot of heresy out there right now. A lot of people saying that was then, this is now, the Bible needs to be reinterpreted. Here's my response to that, and feel free to use it. So what you're telling me is the God of all creation, the one who knows the end from the beginning, the one who lives outside of time, wasn't smart enough to inspire a book that transcended time. That's basically what you're telling me. So if we're going to prophesy, first of all, that doesn't make you a prophet. If we're going to prophesy, then we're going to do it according to the grace that was given to us. And we're going to prophesy in proportion to our faith. And when we try to extend that beyond that, we make mistakes. I did. I look back on some of my early words of prophecy and cringe. Oh, I know the Lord forgave me. I know Shelley overlooked it so that he could let it develop in me and let the gifts come. But I look back on those days, of course, being hard on myself and just shake my head. Seeing where, when I didn't know what the interpretation was, I filled in the blanks with my own interpretations. See, he gives the gifts. He anoints. He appoints. The gift of prophecy is receiving a message directly from God through special revelation. It is then guided in declaring it to the people. It is authenticated in some way by him. Prophecy will be confirmed. If prophecy is not confirmed and doesn't come to pass, it is what? It is false. But when you prophesy, you do it to edify, encourage, or inform. Prophets, on the other hand, are not very popular. They bring correction. They bring instruction. They bring a word from God that you might not want to hear. That's why if you prophesy or you hear someone prophesy, it doesn't make them a prophet. We throw that label around much too easily. Somebody who prophesies edifies, exhorts, and comforts. 1 Corinthians 14:3. The gift of prophecy, both Old Testament and New Testament, primarily we understand it from the New Testament because there really are very few real prophets around. But in the Old Testament, they foretold famine. They said when God wasn't happy about something and what was going to happen if Israel didn't fix it. Oh, you can't do that in the church today. Don't bring correction. Don't stand up in the middle of the congregation and talk about how that guy up there on the pulpit with the microphone at his hand is a hireling. He's a false teacher. Might be having an affair. Dipping into the till. Nope, can't do that. Security will usher you out. You can't stand up in a place where somebody's got false teaching or has an angel named Emma. No female angel, by the way. And does some really crazy things. If you do that, they will literally pick you up and escort you out. The world does not want to hear that. They want the show. Folks, I don't have time for the show. And sometimes I don't have time to be nice. I'll do the best that I can. But I'm working for the King. 24/7, don't punch a clock. I want to see him come back. I want to see people saved, healed, and delivered. The question is, what do you want? The other thing about prophecy is it must be confirmed. 1 Corinthians 14:29. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. Everything revealed to a person is not divine revelation. Some of it's just common sense. Some of it's them thinking. But everything must be judged. And it's judged by the elders and by the teachers and those who have experience. Was that God? Does that sound like him? Does it line up with the word? And does it come to pass? Is it truthful? I'll tell you right now, my Heavenly Father does not like false teachers, false prophets, false apostles. He just doesn't like them, and we should be thankful we live under the covenant of grace. Under the old covenant, if you prophesied falsely, you were to be judged and dealt with harshly. And when they say to you, seek those who are mediums and wizards, who whisper and mutter, should not a people seek their God? Should they seek the dead on behalf of the living? To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Isaiah 8:19-20. I don't know how else to say it. And I've in all the teachings I've done over the years, and some of the stuff that is a little out there, that it took me from the time the Lord gave it to me to the time that I taught it years. If it doesn't line up with the word, I don't teach it. If there's not scriptural verification for what I say, I don't teach it. That's why the book that I wrote, which the other one's rewritten, it's just a matter of getting it out as an e-book because it's probably too big to be printed. It's so big. It's got Hebrew, it's got Greek, it's got all these explanations. Why? Because I want to make sure it lines up with the word and I can verify that. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name which I have not commanded him to speak, or speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. Oops. Deuteronomy 18:20, really? And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Jeremiah 23 talks about the prophets who dream dreams that are their dreams. Their pizza dreams. Their late night snack dreams. They're too much TV and social media dreams. They don't happen. And how do they answer that when you well, the people repented. Well, maybe they did. Maybe they heard what you had to say and went whoops and got into their spiritual whoops closet and took care of it. But more than likely, if you spoke it, it didn't come from him. Because his word is like a fire. His word is verifiable. It convicts. What does the Spirit do when he brings remembrance of the Lord and the Lord's teaching? He convicts the world. Boy, I wish I could name names. False prophets in the old days, they lied in the name of Jehovah. Outright lied that the dreams and the words they were giving were from him, but they were counterfeit. They wanted the glory. They wanted the favor. They wanted what went with it. That's why every now and then a king would come in and say, is there a real prophet somewhere that'll tell me the truth? And of course, that real prophet was hiding somewhere because people don't want the truth. They can't handle the truth. Real prophets speak correction, guidance, and instruction. They're commissioned by God to speak for him. Anyone not commissioned and ordained is false. Sometimes the things they did are weird. Sometimes, like with Hosea, in the example of his marriage, they were living parables. They were walking, talking, living parables of what God was trying to show the people. But almost always, signs and wonders were attached to what they did. We see it with Moses. We see it with Elijah and Elisha. And they ministered to people. They didn't just judge them. They didn't just spank them spiritually and correct them. They ministered to them. They helped them out of it. I love these guys that sit upon the stages of the TV shows and they dress nice, they look nice, but they don't ever get dirty. They don't ever get in the trenches. They don't ever get out there where the people smell and the demons are real. That's what we need. We need people willing to get dirty. We need willing to people to risk it all for the Lord. They are called to invoke faith through the correction, through their exhortation. I mean, if you love someone, you're going to correct them. So you're showing God's love. They don't just predict the future. And I will tell you this, a lot of the people right now, I like that word ipso facto, after the fact. They tell you things after the fact. And then they mold it. And then they twist it. A prophet is one who knows his times and what God is trying to say to the people of his times. That was A.W. Tozer. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1. John was warning us. He warned us about the spirit of the Antichrist. He warned us about what was coming, and it began during the days of the early church. And now, more than ever, we're being deceived. I don't want you deceived. I don't want you to ever leave this time on the porch, or in the future, now or in the future, ever thinking you were deceived, or that I was deceptive in anything I said or did. Because I care for you. I care for your spiritual well-being. I care for your eternity. I care that you get to see him face to face. Just don't be online behind me. You're going to be there a while, but then again, there is no time. I care about that. I care about you, how you hurt when you send me your stuff and say pray and I send you the thumbs up or the prayer emoji. Know that I am really doing it, more than likely right then and there. Sometimes I'll look at that message on my phone, lay my hands on top of it, and begin to pray. Sometimes in English, sometimes in my heavenly language. My wife will tell you, sometimes I'll take the dogs out and she'll come in and say, was that you speaking in tongues? Yep, that was me. I don't care if anybody's walking by, driving by. I don't care what my neighbors think. If the Lord tells me to pray, if the Spirit puts it upon my heart to pray, I'm going to pray. I'm going to lay hands. I'm going to cast out. I'm going to do what he called me to do. But in the days ahead, and what you're seeing now in the news, and what you're seeing in social media, and everything going on around you in your own life, I am calling for you right now to get your eyes set on him, to get your eyes set on the word, to get your life right with him. If you have a sin that besets you, that the enemy plays on you with, repent. Ask for deliverance from it from him. Ask for deliverance from somebody that can help you. I am working on us getting together next summer in a place where we will praise, we will worship. If anybody wants to be baptized, we'll borrow the hotel pool for it. We will teach. We will fellowship together. When the Lord blesses me with the motorhome, then I will come and do what needs to be done. And we will raise up other people to do it. And we will set the kingdom on fire with a holy fire, a heavenly fire, a fire of the upper room. Fire will fall. We will live out that name. Father, I come to you now in the name of your Son, and I'm asking for the fire to fall. I'm asking for the blessings to flow. I'm asking for all the hindrances and the blockages and everything the enemy has done to be broken. Send your angels, if need be, to clear it up. Clear it out of the way. Let it come. Bless my brothers and sisters who are broken in heart or body. Bless their marriages. Bless their lives. Bring correction. Straighten them up. Stand them up. Fill them with your Spirit right now with the manifestations of the gifts. Bestow upon them according to your will, Holy Spirit, what they should say and do and how they should say and do it. But let it fall. Let the fire in them rise up. Maybe it's gone down. Maybe it's gone out. I don't know. I would really hope not. Right now, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, let the fire of the Ruach HaKodesh roar back up inside of you. Bones be healed, hearts be healed, minds be cleared, questions be answered. We just came out of Hanukkah with a victory of darkness over light over the darkness, because the darkness could not overwhelm it, could not overcome it. We saw it in historical form. We need to see it now. We need to arise and shine. No more listening to the false teachers and the false prophets. No more getting caught up in the lights and the smoke and the mirrors, and being fooled by emotionalism. If people aren't changed, if people don't get saved, healed, and delivered, if communities are not changed, if areas are not changed, that wasn't revival. That wasn't an awakening. That was a performance. If you're still doing what you did before, expecting different results, you know what that means. You're going to get what you've always gotten because you're doing what you've always done. Now is the time for you to say no more I am going to walk in the Spirit in accordance with the word of the living God as one of his children, in the fullness of what he has authorized for me and in my royal inheritance. And I declare and I decree this in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Give you shalom. I'm Richard Grund. This has been The Porch on Firefall Talk Radio.